There we go. And welcome to episode 302 of the Bad Taste Video Podcast. I'm Mike. I'm here with my man, Grizz. We're finally doing one of the classics that we've put off for no apparent reason other than sheer laziness, and I have no idea. But before that, let's hit that intro. I like that, man.
That's probably the best part of the movie, right? That song.
No. All right, so this week we're covering Lunch Meat from 1987. I would say this is like one of those VHS tapes that has a ton of releases, but for some reason they're always expensive and they're always rather semi-hard to find. Pretty interesting. Yeah. But like I said, for
big box is king. I know that. Then there's like there's the one slip cover, right, with the fucking red.
I think there's two slip covers, and then there's two slip covers. I think there might also be a clam, maybe.
I've never seen the clam unless it was like a foreign release. I could be wrong.
Well, there's a Japanese.
The Japanese fucking releases.
Yeah, there's the foreign clam. There's a foreign clam. I'm not sure where the fuck that was from, but
love me some foreign clam.
But Lunch Meat. Not shot on video, as a lot of people claim for some reason. I don't know. Actually 8mm, right? Super 8. You could see like the little hairs in the,
you know, artifacts, in the
film and all that shit. Yeah. But this is a movie. I feel like I don't really, I don't know. I was like never, drawn to it. Like some people are, I don't know if this is one of those things where, you know, the people get the hype of the tape and everything, and they think it's going to be one thing, and it's kind of that.
But it's also kind of not. You know, I also think that the name Lunch Meat is probably the stupidest name for this movie. They don't really, it doesn't have anything to do with the lunch. Movie. A little bit to do with meat. I can't imagine basing my whole persona on this movie, but like, honestly, the name Lunch Meat doesn't do anything for this movie for me. Like, I guess that's the one thing too, that like, if this movie had more to do with the cannibal aspect of things that it kind of like, you know, opens up with, I'd probably like it a little bit more too.
See, like this is kind of weird because they say Lunch Meat like 7 times in like a minute span. It's really kind of weird that they would name it after that because there's like a ton of cool shit that you could like name this movie. It is like a backwoods hillbilly slasher. Yeah. You have like the cannibal family.
Well, the one is for sure.
Yeah. The Benny one. He's the one that's like on all the artwork and stuff. Contrary to popular belief, this is not like a zombie film. You may get that impression right from the cover because he's wearing like a noose and he's kind of fucked up looking.
He's got like an arm and he's chewing on and shit like that.
Yeah, that's not the case. It's, you know, you got a group of teenagers / early 20s going up to this rich dude's family's cabin and they're Texas chainsawed basically by this Sawyer-esque family. Maybe
one of those kids is Ashley Gear, who you might have seen from Anal Secrets or Cock Horse 12s. You know, big fan of hers. Good work she's
done. Was that before or after this movie?
That's after this. I don't know what the secret could be. I mean, it's pretty straightforward, right?
I feel like this is more of like a Texas Chainsaw 2 type thing.
Oh yeah, that, it does have that vibe. Yeah, I can get that.
Because there is like a bit of comedy to it and stuff. Like everybody's like over the top stupid also, which is kind of like funny. But I made a comment to you that this probably has the most like realistic reactions to violence in a lot of, like in the last, I don't know how many years of watching movies, like when people get kicked in the fucking head, like it affects them. Like it would affect you getting mule kicked by somebody. You know what I mean? Sure. Like from a seated position, it would affect you getting a pickaxe through your foot. I feel like they do a really good job in this and like showing like, fuck, like I'm hurt. Like I'm really hurt.
No, you're right. There's great reactions. And like the actual violence that we do get in the movie, I think is pretty good. You know, the gore is not, you know, over the top, but there's like some pretty cool scenes of like, oh, that's pretty gnarly and shit like that, that I can get behind. I love the setup for the story. I love any, like we talked about last week, I love like these, you know, weird families or like, you know, these people that are just different from the average person who are kind of like put into these roles of outcast and then, you know, do bad things and stuff like that or whatever. I think it has a great premise that you can build off of. And they kind of do a little bit in this movie, but I guess the thing I'm saying is that like, we understand that, and there's scenes that show that this family is like killing people, but then selling the meat to a local burger joint.
Yeah.
And they're then serving this, you know, meat to their fucking customers and stuff. And I just wish that we got more of that kind of like action in this movie. We only get like one interaction where this guy's selling the meat and shit like that. I wish they would have played more into the restaurant being involved and like,
yeah,
actually making it about the fucking lunch meat that these people are eating. It's kind of like a one-off thing in the beginning of the movie that never really touches back on it.
Yeah, and like the lunch, like it's not even lunch meat. It's literally they're making like cheeseburgers, right? They show me like cheeseburgers at one point. Is the restaurant in on it, or do they just think it's like meat? Like they just think it's beef.
That's what I'm saying. I would love to know, like, who's the restaurant owner? We never fucking see that guy. Like, is he being like, I want to serve fucking human. I want to, you know, this is my fucking niche or whatever. Or is he just an unbeknownst fucking buyer of tainted meat?
Yeah, because that is like a very Texas Chainsaw thing where they're killing these people and slaughtering them and everything, and they're making them into chili and selling the chili and all that. There's that one scene where they actually send our group on a detour. They like put the signs out, and that's like a very Texas Chainsaw thing, right? Yeah. To put the sign out to divert them from the normal route so they can fall into this trap or whatever. I feel like that was kind of like an homage to that. And I feel like Rob Zombie uses that.
It's been done in so many different movies and shit like that too. And, you know, it is a great, it's a classic fucking, you know, cliche horror thing. I think that's kind of become, you know, from those movies that we just talked about, that's like, you know, the diversion and then, you know, the booby trap that soon comes after. Why don't we actually like start with just showing a little bit of this fight, like the family introduction, I guess you could call it, where we start to see the father, the big fucking cannibal one, and these two brothers who are like fucking Ren and Stimpy, dude. These are my two favorite characters of the movie too, are the two younger brothers.
You go out, keep a close eye on your brother, yeah? Yeah, Paul, I hear ya.
So you have this family sitting there. You have the one brother that's like tied to a barn, and I'm guessing that's his pet chicken because they never actually eat it. You have two more able brothers who are about to go into town. And they're going to sell the meat for money. And there's the mean old dad. It's the head of this clan that...
You spend a single one of my dollars and I'll cut your balls off.
Yeah.
Like, fucking the family is like one of the best fucking aspects of this movie. Like the shit that the dad says is fucking wild.
Well, he has that one line where he says, "You're like a rabid dog with shit for brains." I always thought that was so fucking funny, because I knew like a fucking ton of people that you could pretty much label them that. It's really funny though, because that is, I guess, the most like monstrous quote unquote character out of everybody in this movie. Everybody's kind of just like a fucking backwoods, good old boy, maybe a little inbred.
Yeah, something's going on. You know?
Yeah, they're all cut up too, which is kind of funny, right? They're all kind of like fucked up in some sort of way. Similar to like a Cannibal Camp Out type thing. I do like this one better than Cannibal Camp Out.
This is better than Cannibal Camp Out for sure, dude. It's more watchable. It has rewatchability in comparison to that one.
Yeah. So, you know what? I want to talk about that actually. Upon, you know, viewing this and everything, the first 2.5 watches were very long, very long watches. Cause, you know,
what, hour 20 or 25 ish.
Yeah. It's almost an hour and a half. It's a fucking long movie. But upon watching it the third time, you know, like the second half of that third watch, I'm like, fuck, like, I think I got it, man. So then I watched it once more. So I actually watched this 4 fucking times and I still feel like I'm not an expert on the movie, but, I think I like it. I think I get it. I don't know. I think like, as you watch it, you pick up a couple more things, a couple more, the audio is very hard to hear. On the YouTube version, that's the version I had to watch because I do not own this. And also, like, if you don't watch it on a large TV, you miss some shit too. And I feel like that really like helped the experience. And I really think that this is like better than a lot of the other backwoods low budget movies out there. Like, dude, like Backwoods Marcy. That's another like low budget, you know, tape movie or whatever. Obviously, like there's Backwoods, which
like
I think
redneck zombies and stuff like that.
Yeah. Oh fuck, man! I didn't even think about redneck zombies. But that's this, I feel like, yeah. Even I guess like you have Toxic Zombies. That's like a similar.
I can get behind thing. That.
Man, you know, now that I think about it, like. You know,
this is
no
deep,
fuck.
But it's not the top of that food chain.
I think this is in my top five. Top five.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually do enjoy this. I wouldn't be opposed to going after a tape version of this now.
So, I mean, for me, like, in the grand scheme of, like, if we're just talking lower budget, like, you know, this kind of thing, but in the grand scheme of, like, all of these backwoods or these, like, misfit family movies, I mean, this is not that high on the list for me as far as being like that real fucking, you know, home run deliver. Yeah. It has great scenes that I like can have, you know, great rewatchability that I'm into, some good gore, but just the lack of like an overall fucking decent story that like tells an actual story besides like, here's some kids, here's the fucking family, they're going to go kill them. I mean, that's really the fucking, the genesis of the, what we're getting out of this movie. Whereas like the name in the beginning offers so much more than that. And it just doesn't ever fucking deliver on it. It just basically offers up some killings.
You know, that's not always a bad thing. Like look at Skinned Alive. What is that? A family going out and just killing people. Like that movie's awesome. You know,
that's a way better movie than this, bro.
Yeah. But that's is that a backwoods slash?
I consider misfit family movie. I don't want to just like parenthesis this, like it has to be a hillbilly, you know, I'm talking about like, fucked even with like Hills Have Eyes family. And shit like that, that same, like, here's some mutant fucking family, some inbred family. Here's some fucking wrong turn, fucking inbred, fucking mountain people from West Virginia. Like I want to encompass all of those different things. And I think Skinned Alive, you know, after you say it, that's gotta be the fucking, the best low budget fucking twisted family movie, in my opinion. That fucking rules, dude.
Would you take something like Skinned Alive over like Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
No.
You still hold that?
I mean, yeah.
Would you say that's at the top of the list?
TCM it has to be. You know, like as much of like the overplay and like it's like a cliche, you know, horror movie at this point, I guess you could say, or whatever. It's a fucking legendary movie. And part two, I think, is just as fucking good, if not better, I'm a big part two guy.
Yeah.
TCM 2 is,
I agree,
the best Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie.
I agree.
You goddamn right, I'm the cool guy. I'm always the fucking cool guy. Don't even start with me today.
I guess you have to start the list at 3, right? Then so I can agree though that part two is that a meta moon, man? Is that a Meta Moon Prime?
The prime, baby. Dude. Fucking living it.
Yeah, look at that.
Got you hooked, man.
I'm trying to think of a movie that would, like, at least rival, you know, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And I guess, like, People Under the Stairs. Talk about great, weird families. Fucking, yo, that movie's fucking great.
Him like, screwed all day, daddy. I like that.
A movie that would rival the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, you know, when it comes to, I guess, like, status in movies or whatever, the horror genre. Can you think of anything that would even come close to that?
I mean, that's had more influence on the actual genre. And I think even like filmmaking as a whole, I'd be hard fucking pressed to come up with something better than TCM, dude.
You know,
especially the time period. Imagine like fucking being in the '70s and fucking.
Because like, you know, I'm not a huge Texas Chainsaw guy. Because I'm always like Bay of Blood. I'm like, Bay of Blood did it better. Bay of Blood did it fucking. That's the shit. But, you know, when I think about it, like, can I think of a better, like, fucked up family movie that, like, that is held in such, like, a regard like that? I really can. I feel like that's almost like obviously The Hills Have Eyes, but that's, I feel like just like a little, it's a little bit later and
Craven's pretty raw with that movie too. I mean, it's, as much as I do love Hills Has Eyes, I think that it's the story dynamic of TCM is better like than Hills Have Eyes. There's a good shock value to Hills Have Eyes.
Yeah, but like the atmosphere of Texas Chainsaw, I can agree, is like something else. Like that is...
And what I think is, and what they really did with TCM too, that I think makes it a better, you know, movie, especially talking about what we're talking about, is the family dynamic that comes through in part two. In comparison to part one, we get a little bit of it in the original Texas Chainsaw, the Sawyers and stuff like that. But man, the Sawyers really come to life in Texas Chainsaw too.
Yeah, they like modernize it.
Yeah, and like Leatherface's personality in that one is like impish and just kind of like childish at times, but like very violent and fucking aggressive too. Matched with Chop Top, who is just this over the top fucking character from Bill Moseley, who is a fucking god. For doing Chop Top. I mean, take all the stuff that I love that he did with, you know, Rob Zombie out of the equation, and just the character of Chop Top alone is fucking Hall of Fame worthy, in my opinion.
Well, you know what? Let's see these two brothers compared to Chop Top.
This dynamic is great.
Chop Top and Leatherface. So these are the two more able brothers in the car, and they have quite able. They have quite the dynamic.
God damn, what the hell was that for? Did you get pissed all over the seat, you scum-sucking pig? Don't you be messing with me no more. Shut up!
This is me and you on a road trip. Idiot.
So, as you could hear...
I just love that last part.
As you hear, they're like two fucking South Park characters going back and forth. Obviously, they have like a very Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 type feel. The dynamic between Bill Moseley and fucking Leatherface. They have like this real wacky, you know, childlike teenage, relationship, right? Where they're just... two adults that act like they're fucking 10 years old.
I mean, the one is definitely like of a child's mindset. The older one, I guess I'm assuming he's a little bit of the older one. He's definitely like, you know, the one that's running the business. He's the one selling the meat for the dad. The younger one there, the passenger who pissed on himself, his whole fucking prerogative is getting candy. That's his whole thing throughout this fucking movie. Candy bars and fucking sweet.
Yeah. Fucking MCP pants. He's also fucking like a creep, right? Because when they're burger place, he's like creeping hard on this like friend group that we're following along with. But it's really kind of funny the way that the girl like talks about him, right? And like the one dude like just brushes it off. Like I would not be brushing this off. Especially when you see what they look like. They look pretty fucked up. But let me roll that.
Who
There's freaks over there in the pickup truck are staring at him.
They're staring at him.
The guy's literally hanging out of the car.
Well, you look so good. How can they help?
I'm gonna get sick.
Will you just ignore them, please?
I love him crawling out of the fucking window.
Yeah, both of them. That is a fucking sight to see. And the guy's just brushing it off. It's like, dude, these guys are possibly dangerous. Like, they're all covered in blood, right? Like, they're not... They just look feral. They look like feral people, right?
So, like, the fucking one brother goes in to sell his human meats to the burger shop. And the other one overhears these teenagers talking about they're going camping at this fucking spot. So, you know, they got to fucking go collect a fresh harvest of that human meat to be selling. I think it's a cool, you know, it's a cool way for them to interact, for them to, like, you know, to have this, like, chance meeting or whatever. Like I said, I wish there was more with that fucking restaurant. We do see, like, a cool scene where they're, like, eating. And there's, like, some kind of fucking suspect music playing, and, like, we're doing some, like, whoa, what the fuck, you know, like, some weird faces and shit.
Doing, like, the close-up on them, like, eating the burger and everything, like, the usual shit. I have the clip now of the, like, the trap that they set in the road. And I want to know your opinion, Grizz, after watching this clip. Would you stop for this motherfucker? All right, let's roll the clip here. So the goth girl who looks like fucking Robert Smith is standing there. The jock guy is like walking over to this giant bloody man in the middle of the road. He gets fucking stabbed up.
Her scream is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, they play this over and over again, too. He rips the guy's throat out, too. This is what you get for trying to be nice. Don't ever be nice to anyone, actually. Don't listen to what I've said in previous episodes. Fuck it. Every man for himself.
The fucking horror movies have taught me anything, my man.
Do not stop.
You don't get out of the fucking car. You don't even question the situation. You turn the fuck around, and you find a new route, man. Don't take the chance.
Now, here's something I just want to say. This is like a side note about this movie and maybe why I like this movie now. They are driving a two-door Cherokee in red. I had that Cherokee Chief. I had like the Chief package.
It was nicer than that one.
Yeah, it was an 87. It was an 87 Cherokee Chief. I think this one might have been a little bit, maybe like an 89 or something. But I'm like, fuck, that car. I had that. It's one of the best cars I've ever fucking owned.
Those old boxy fucking Jeeps, dude. Those are awesome.
I used to get like nice, like I get like nice fucking like big tires on it and everything. Never ever did I get stuck in the fucking snow or whatever. Built differently, man. Putting that thing into four-wheel drive.
We gotta get you back there.
It's so expensive now. It's so expensive now. I'm just buying a bike, bro. That's it. I'm buying a motorcycle.
Fucking tires cost me over fucking almost $5,000.
Exactly.
Four tires. Dude.
Yeah, I'm gonna go buy a fucking Gixxer for that and do 190 miles an hour for just the price.
Yeah, but my tires are fucking huge.
I'm gonna Grand Theft Auto jump over your house for $5,000.
Park it in the fucking bed of my truck.
Yeah, and I can buy the motorcycle, the material for the wood to to make the ramp and a parachute to land safely, all for the price of your fucking giant truck tires. But you know what, man? That's live in Buffalo, so it's allowed.
I need it, dude. Yeah, it's not just because I have a small package. It's because I actually have to have a fucking big truck to get around. So
yeah, I mean, I don't blame you with that. I'm pretty much fucked if it's like I don't have the Blazer anymore. I mean, it's at my parents' house, but if it's fucking snowing, I ain't going anywhere. I live in like a valley. So no matter what, I have to go up like a steep hill.
Into your town fucking sucks, dude. I remember like taking these back ass fucking roads down these like huge fucking hills. And I'm like, dude, this is the fucking sketchiest drive in the wintertime. I can't even imagine.
That's it, man. That's rural America for you. Yeah. I just want to reiterate, don't ever stop for the big giant bloody mutant in the road. Yeah. So this is pretty much where like the whole movie kicks off, right? Like everybody starts getting fucked up at this point. Yeah. The bad guys and the good guys. It's pretty even.
Which
pretty
I did like about this. I like that it wasn't a one-sided fucking showdown. You know, I thought that's kind of what the case was going to be. It was just going to be like a slaughtering of these kids, which in a way, there's a little bit of that. But it's also like a good back and forth, you know.
Yeah,
these guys get fucked up equally as well.
So now, one of the kills that I really enjoyed in this movie was when the goth girl gets her head cut off. And it's like, it happens right away. But this motherfucker comes out of the fucking brush waving helicopter this thing, like he's doing like a Turk. What's that thing called? Like the Turkish, like the Iron Sheik fucking thing.
Oh yeah, the fucking Turkish weight things where he would fucking like, oh, what the hell are these called, dude? I know exactly what you're talking about.
But like, look at this shit. This is a hilarious beheading. This guy just comes running out of the brush, swinging the axe like a helicopter.
Yeah, dude.
He's got some form, so. And just whacks her head off.
Ooh.
And it's just like a dirt-covered mannequin head.
I love how dirty it is. Dude. That's like the best part about it.
It looks like somebody got skinned. Gross. Yeah, it looks like it's skinned also, but what a scene. The only thing that really bothers me is the fact that there's the screaming noise played over and over and over again. Like, it's really fucking terrible. I don't know. But I would say that throughout the film, there are tons of, not tons because there's only so many people, but there's a lot of, I guess, like cringeworthy trauma to people, like things where you would like, oh, yeah, fuck, like that would suck. I think they did a good job using, you know, just simple tools that you would never.
The foot, for instance, is one of those things where I'm just like, oh, god damn, dude.
Well, like
those bones in your feet, dude. You ever like fucking have like a chair or something fucking land on the top of your fucking barefoot? That shit fucking ruins you.
Pickaxe, man. and we have a clip here. This is when let's see. I believe one of them is stuck to the ground here, right? With a pickaxe.
That's correct.
Let me roll this clip here. So you got one person getting hacked up to pieces. And yep, she's dead.
I love the sound, the music in this.
Yes. Oh man, we cut it. We just missed it, but you could kind of see he has a pickaxe through his foot going into the ground, and it's buried so deep that this motherfucker can't even pull the pickaxe out. That would split your foot in half, dude. I don't even think it would get stuck. I think it would literally just go.
I was going to say, in that situation, do you sacrifice the foot and pull it the fuck out? Or do you try to take the pickaxe out?
All right, so this is what I was thinking, man. Because I was watching this and I thought, what would I do in this situation? If I had a pickaxe going through my foot in the ground, this motherfucker's trying to get it out, and this is like life or death. I was thinking, if this guy comes close enough to me, I'm grabbing him by the clothes and pulling him down into the pickaxe.
Onto the pickaxe. Okay.
Or at one point, he knelt down close enough, and all I could think of is like, yo, if you grab this guy by the shoulders, you could put this pickaxe right up his ass. Like, that would have been it.
Yeah, that we're talking.
Yeah, and like, you deal with the impossible infection later.
Pickaxe enemy, dude, Jesus Christ.
But I feel like everybody has a pretty realistic reaction to the things that happen to them, because when these dudes get hit through the foot or whatever, they're not just walking on it, no problem after. Like, they're fucked up. This guy that's trying to get the pickaxe out, he gets mule kicked in the face by, you know, the nerd rich kid, and he gets a concussion. He's legitimately concussed. He's like walking around, stumbling after. He doesn't get up right away. He like lays there for a minute.
Well, that's what you were saying, that like, there's actual consequence in this movie, which is something you don't normally see in a lot of horror movies. You get away with a lot of like, didn't that motherfucker like get destroyed in the last scene, and now he's like being able to kick some ass in the next scene? And like, that really doesn't happen. Even in scenes where there's like, the teenagers are trying to like take some revenge and shit, they're fucked up. It's a struggle. It's not like they're, you know, in fucking attack mode, you know, going ham on these fucking people and shit. It's they're actually suffering the consequences of like the damage that they've taken, which I think is a pretty cool aspect, like you were mentioning.
Yeah.
And I love what the girl that we just saw fucking dead on the ground, what ends up happening to her fucking body, super fucking cool. And like her friend finds her in the fucking worst possible way.
Dude. Oh, dude, they Jason Voorhees her. She gets Jason Voorhees. Let's roll that one. So this girl gets some blood dripped on her, and she looks up, and it's her fucking friend tied to the tree, like leaking blood, like it's a some sort of waterfall or something.
Great shot. She plays it really well. I wonder if she's the porn actor. I think that might be. There we go.
There she is. Brutal. Gooing up there. Yeah, that's and like you could see it like really affects this woman. Like she fucked up after seeing this. She gets the end of Texas Chainsaw Massacre treatment. Just completely broken. But you know, just because these kids are getting killed doesn't mean that these other guys aren't getting fucked up too.
It's a battle.
Yeah, one of the brothers gets stabbed and it like really fucks him up. Right, like he is not.
Which I was surprised. I thought it was going to be just like a pull it out and fucking keep fucking going kind of scene, and like he gets stabbed and it's legit fucking him up, like you said.
He gets stabbed in like the chest. And he is fucked up. And this guy is the more able of the two. I feel like he's definitely the one that might kill you. Pulls the knife out.
You know, for like a lower budget film, like the hillbilly dudes are great fucking actors, man.
Yeah, believable. He kind of looks like Bone Crusher from Deadbeat at Dawn, right?
I was gonna say fucking the fucking Junkyard King there from Street Trash. What's his fucking name?
Bronson.
Yeah, Bronson.
That's really fucking funny. He takes this blade to the chest, and like for the rest of the movie, or at least for the rest of his fucking short life or whatnot, he's clutching his chest. He's moving way slower. He's like really like just kind of barely hanging on. Just like the dude that got kicked in the face. He's like barely able to stand up. He's wobbling back and forth. He doesn't really even put up a fight when he eventually takes a pickaxe to the throat. But
I like what happens to the other brother.
Which one? The one, the
candy guy, the fucking the younger brother, and then you know, he gets
the pickaxe through the throat. That guy, right? That one.
Is it the younger one or the one that we just saw?
That's the one in the blue gets the pickaxe through the throat.
Yeah. When we show up to fucking. The dad is trying to get to one of the girls under the car, and he's fucking here chasing her back and forth. And the one dude shows up with the fucking dead brother.
Oh, this is, yes.
This is a fucking awesome scene.
This is an awesome scene. let me roll it. We'll describe it. So the girl is under the car being attacked by the dad. The dad has a machete. She's really struggling under there.
This thing put you, bitch.
But like boyfriend guy shows up. Yeah, hey, asshole.
I got something for you here.
What does he have? The other brother's fucking head,
dude.
Ugly son of a bitch, ain't he? Dude, that's
all
awesome.
The coolest dudes.
That is awesome. I totally forgot about that. That was
just because the way that fucking head looks. It's like probably one of the most believable effects in the movie. That it's like a legit head with the fucking like. The fucking, you know, muscle coming off the bottom and shit like that. It looks really good.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. That was really good. Good catch, man. I like that. Yeah, dude, but some of these brothers aren't created equal. And some of these brothers fucking hate their dad. And guess what? guess what? We have almost a like a an anti-hero here, right?
Yeah, like, and he's not really
he's not really good either. Yeah,
no, he's not good. Like, his intentions are not to fucking his only intention is the betterment of his situation. It's not to save anybody. He doesn't give a fuck about anybody but his chicken.
He's gonna
we're talking about like the bigger, dumber, you know, cannibal brother that they used for the booby trap. We see throughout this movie that the dad's just beating the shit out of him. At one point, he's got him tied to a tree and he's just whipping the shit out of him with like a fucking an old school bullwhip and stuff. So he's like really the brunt of all the abuse of the family. And so the fucking dad, you know, he gets him and he's like, all right, let's, you know, it's this big finale. He's like, let's get this fucking last chick or whatever. And the brother has different plans, man. He kind of starts thinking back about all the different abuses that he went through. This was a turn I didn't see coming, to be honest with you. First time watch, I was like, oh, this was pretty cool.
So the brother ends up decapitating the father with a shovel. I love it. This is awesome.
This is a great shot. Where that looks is really good.
Yeah, you see the father like face down on the ground with a shovel like all the way through his neck, just like wiggling it around.
It's just simple, you know, an effect to pull off, but it's so effective.
Yeah, and he doesn't really let her go. He starts chasing her and she runs away and everything. I like that there's a dude that gets out with a shotgun. He like yeah, pulls like out he was the gonna, gun. Yeah, he's gonna shoot this motherfucker.
He just like takes off into the fucking woods though. He's like gets out of there. I love that this is also like a classic horror movie ending. The fucking damsel in distress, the lone survivor, running alone in the fucking street looking for help, all while an amazing fucking song plays. Like this is such a like we talked about. Like this is TCM, you know, love letter at its finest, man. Like this is really, you know, Rob Zombie fucking does it. They all fucking do it now. But like, this is another great example of what that movie has kind of like put into the zeitgeist of horror.
Yeah. I really think that, this thing pulls it together at the end. I think, if it was an hour long, it would be fucking perfect.
Perfect.
Yeah, I think it would be fucking great. I think it's just, there's a lot of walking with not even like dialogue, really, like just a lot of like chasing with nothing going on. And
for this to work at the hour 20, like we're looking at, it needs to have more of that story I was talking about in the beginning.
Yeah.
Of, you know, have all this shit we just saw at the end with the big, you know, finale, the fight of these two, you know, parties, but really give us a little bit of like what's going on, why this movie's called fucking Lunch Meat, the whole, you know, give us something to that effect.
Yeah, but I really do think this one's worth watching. I think I'm going to try to find a copy of the tape. I really did enjoy doing this. It took a couple watches for me to really, like, I guess, understand, like, the hype or whatnot. I don't know. But I feel like this would also be a good watch with other people. Watching it with a group would probably be a lot of fun. Watching it alone was still a good time. I laughed. I chuckled. I cried.
Go through the whole gamut of emotions.
I definitely think it's worth a watch. I really did like it. I feel like a lot of people will like this movie. I feel like there's a little bit of something for everybody in this one, and it's like not really, there's no nudity or anything. There's really not too much like crazy gore and shit. There's some, but it's not really too bad.
It's tasteful.
Yeah,
you know, the top, you know, like this is something that you like, you know, fucking gore fest, like which I think a lot of times people think, especially when you get these tapes that have crazy fucking price points now, that, you know, all the scarcity, this and that, these are gonna be your fucking most over the top, wildest fucking movies, you know. That's kind of like the cachet that a lot of those movies take with them, but this doesn't really deliver in that aspect. This isn't the fucking, you know, blood soaked underground, you know, splatterfest that you might think it is based on the hype around it.
Yeah.
But it's a great, simple, you know, low super budget. 8 fucking hillbilly movie, man. Yeah. It's fun.
There you go. There you go. And next week, next Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/@BadTasteVideoPodcast, we're going to be covering Brain Blast from 1987. A new drug is sweeping the streets of Sydney with devastating outcomes. This movie looks pretty fucking wild. You can find it on YouTube. It's out there.
How much we fucking love Australian horror movies, dude. Body Melt being one of the all-time best movies ever fucking made.
Fuck yeah.
A similar concept here, you know, Body Melt based off of a drug. You know, this one's based off of I think it's a different kind of drug, but still it's going to be a fun one, man.
Hour 30 minutes according to IMDb. Let's see how it goes. I really do enjoy doing the first time watches, man. Because then, like, you kind of like, you're being introduced to all this new shit. It's a lot of fun. I really enjoy it. But Grizz, it's time that we head over to the wide world of metal with a band that we are huge fans of anyway. But they just put something out, so why not fucking cover it? And that is...
Fluids, man, because you know what? Anytime fucking Fluids puts out a new album, I am going to want to fucking cover it. This is by far my favorite current project that's out there. I think this new album that they've just put out, which is going to be, I think, officially released in June, is called Reduced Capabilities. And I think it's a very appropriate name for this album because this is the first time I've heard Fluids really strip back everything about themselves. There's no there's no samples, there's no any kind of electronic elements to this at all. It's the end track has that little like intro part to it, but like really compared to everything else that you're familiar with Fluids, this is a little bit of a departure from the norm, but really in the best possible way. This is the grooviest, just most, I think, love letter to Mortician that you could possibly have for a modern band who is doing something similar. And I think that's probably where, you know, our love for this band is kind of based off of, is the fact that they are Mortician-ish in that sense that like it's groovy, it's old school in times, but Mortician is Fluids is more of this like, you know, modernized version of it. But man, Reduced Capabilities really brings it back to that simple, groove heavy, great vocals, super fucking fuzzed out death metal, man.
Yeah, let's we have three clips for you here. Let's start with Marrow.
That's a good one to start with.
Great groove on. I think we played it already in the beginning, but let's play
it again.
Now it's not gonna want to play. Because fuck me, right? Because fuck me, right?
Cool on this album.
I love these types of riffs.
Dude, that pullback there is just so fucking awesome.
You know what they use? Amp-wise?
I'm not sure. I'd love to fucking look into it.
Awesome.
I mean, this really is such a stripped down version of this band. I mean, there's some of their stuff is just so chaotic and like it's just like over the top, different audio samples and shit. And I just was so surprised. At the one song that I fucking really love is Soot, dude. This song has probably the coolest beginning. The groove just fucking goes and it caught me so fast. And I was like, this is the one.
This is it. That bass. Your favorite drum beat?
I'm a good tuba. The vocals are just so much, they're just highlighted in this album, I think, so much more than their other stuff.
I love the the production of this one. Everything sounds so tight. Like, especially for such like a low tune guitar and everything, like with the drums, it's mixed so well with everything. It all just moves like perfectly together.
That's honestly the best description of it. It all just moves mechanically in time, chugs along this fucking like track that's like never diverging. And it's fucking heavy, man. Like that's the best part about it. It's,
that's,
it, It's so fucking awesome. I'm a fanboy for this fucking band so hard, dude.
Well, like, to me, like, that's a big part of Mortician, like, in my eyes, is like when you put that on like a stereo or in your car or whatever, like, you feel the songs. Because, yes, like, everything moves like a machine. Like, it's just fucking, you know, especially even the drum machine ones. Like, that's, to me, is the best. But
those are the best ones. Dude,
like, sure. I love the drum machine ones. Yeah, it. Where it's, awesome, dude, like, fucking 380 beats per minute on the fucking drums. Fucking They've had people playing that shit, though. But there's just a feeling when you listen to Mortician. Like, all those songs, it's so fucking, like, low. And it's like mixed well, where like the guitar matches the drums and the bass perfectly with the vocals and everything.
And that is this album. Yes, for sure.
Yes, it has like that same feeling. Like, we have one more clip for you. Yeah. This shit is fucking awesome too. Like, these types of riffs.
Yeah, dude, this is the fucking. This might be a better song than fucking. Yeah, it's so sick.
Dude, if you're gonna dig up a grave, like, this is the song that you put on.
Oh, fuck, dude. Let's get nerds in this fucking album.
When I make you mow my lawn, this is what I'm gonna make you listen to. I always laugh like when I'm mowing the lawn because I'm listening to something like Mortician or whatever as I'm like in this like rural area mowing the lawn. Like, everybody's so nice, everybody's waving to you and shit. Meanwhile, like, I'm fucking wearing like a Deicide shirt as I'm out there. I just look like a freak. Yo, like,
shout out to Deicide. Did you hear the fucking new album?
I didn't listen to it yet. No, is it good?
Fucking awesome, dude. Yeah. And I just love everything about it, dude. Glenn coming out and being like, new metal fucking sucks, a bunch of fucking pussies looking like they don't belong in death metal, playing death metal, dude. I was like, dude,
you have it literally just came out.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, man. My god, can we cover this next week?
Yeah, I was honestly thinking about covering it.
No, I need a week's worth of I need some.
I want you to really digest that one, dude. And yeah, I'll send you some of the fucking the screenshots of some of the shit he was saying about some of these new bands. Oh,
man. Doomed to Die. Yeah, my man. I'm in. But Fluids as a modern like death metal band, I love this shit. I love this version even more. I like the stuff that they put in with the clips and like the real like glitched out stuff and all that. It's cool too. I really like this version. Like, This is
their
like,
best album, man.
Yeah, like, this reminds me of something like you're going to see in a basement in 1994 New Jersey. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, one of those types of bands. Like, I love this, man. I really highly, highly recommend it. And it just came out, what, 2 weeks ago, a week ago?
Like that. I think there's going to be, like, an actual album release in, like, June. We'll be, like, when, like all the actual, like, physical albums get shipped out and stuff like that. But, yeah, Reduced Capabilities. I think it's a great name for what this album represents from this band. The artwork is fucking, it's haunting as shit, especially when you got three fucking lard-ass motherfuckers that play in this band, and this is the fucking album they put together. It's great, man.
Yeah, awesome. I really, really recommend this one. And go listen to the new Deicide if you want to also be up on what we're going to talk about next week. Oh, yeah. And like I said, the movie, I guess, is kind of fitting to all this shit too. Brain Blast from 1987. And you can watch us discuss it and discuss the new Deicide, Banished by Sin, next Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on our YouTube page, youtube.com/@bandtastevideopodcast. Grizz, I feel like there's a ton of fucking awesome music coming out now. Like, new bands, old bands. I guess people are being like reinvigorated by something. I don't know what the fuck it is.
The push on the like old school death metal front has got me fucking pumped, dude. You know, some of these bands that I've been finding the last few weeks have just like really, you know, invigorated me to like search harder, to realize that like there's young kids, you know, in their fucking late teens, early 20s, who are like digging back to what, you know, started everything and being able to recreate those things.
You ever hear this band Dying Fetus? Like one of those types of things.
It's fucking wild.
Well, you know what it is now, dude? It's probably like, you know, we're in our, you know, mid to late 30s. And if you had a kid in your 20s, like your kid is now like at that age where he's starting to play in bands and everything.
Yeah,
so he would grow up with parents that were listening to fucking, you know, all these death metal bands and all that shit. So, you know, what's the first thing you want to do? It's like, oh, I want to play what I know.
That's what they're going to fucking do just to spite your fucking ass.
That was our generation. That was like fucking... I don't know what the fuck happened.
Time period of music.
I never could get into it. Like the early Blink 182 albums are fine. Like I like that shit, whatever. Like
I just hate punk music, so it could never fit for me, dude. Just could never get into it.
See, I can't say that because I like no. No,
you do
like,
you do like punk and shit like that. Yeah. So I could see where you could have a crossover. I just never. I don't know. There's something about the genre just never did it for me.
To me, like here, I could pretty much explain it this way. Like a straight up punk band. Like you can have a legit punk band where like everybody in the band is like, you know, living the gimmick, like legit. Yeah. Right. I feel like pop punk, like it's like corny to me where there's no it all feels so fake. You know what I mean? Like, so it doesn't feel real to me.
I think punk has to have some authenticism to it in order for it to be palatable in any way. I had a lot of friends that were big into it in high school. You know, people listened to a lot of band Pennywise and stuff like that. Like that felt authentic. Like it felt like these were some pissed off kids, you know, saying fuck authority and shit like that. That was cool to me. Like I can get behind that. Although the music really wasn't like driving me to fucking go listen, the actual like sentiment behind it was really cool. And then the whole ska thing and all that shit, dude, just punk just took so many weird fucking directions that I just could never really get into.
It's just like metal. You know what I mean? There's so many different.
We just talked about fucking how much we fucking hate deathcore earlier. So.
No, not deathcore. Clean vocals in deathcore.
I hate deathcore. I fucking, dude, nothing is worse to me when I'm hearing a sick riff and the fucking stupid vocalist comes in with his little deathcore growls. I'm like, dude, what the? Why do you have to ruin this?
Wait. Like, where does deathcore start and end for you?
It's one, in production for sure. A lot of fucking sub bass drops and shit like that being added into.
Would a band music. like you know, early with like early Suicide Silence, is that deathcore?
Yeah. So, I think everything I've ever heard from Suicide Silence, I would put as deathcore.
So like if it has breakdowns?
Breakdowns. It's also so much in the vocal styles. Like, you know, it's that, dude, like even like bands like Winds of Plague and shit, like that vocal delivery style just is deathcore to me. It's not it's not guttural enough. It's more screamy than it is guttural. And then when they do gutturals, they got to put so much effects on it and make it all sound even fucking lower than it should be. And it's like, dude, this is lame.
What about like Job for a Cowboy?
I mean, I was into Job for a Cowboy when they first came out for sure. It's deathcore, you know, but I was also like into like more deathcore-ish bands at the time, like Black Dahlia Murder. I was a big fan of them. And I would honestly consider Black Dahlia Murder fucking deathcore at this point.
I wouldn't consider them a deathcore band.
I do, dude. I 100% do. I absolutely do.
I don't know.
They're
man.
Not death metal. Man.
I would consider them more death metal than deathcore. They're closer to they're closer to At the Gates than.
Yeah, they're like more melodic death metal at times. I could, you know, maybe.
Because, like, to me, deathcore was like. At least when I was playing in bands, like at that time, Pig Squeals, Breakdowns, Sub Bass, things like that. That to me was like a deathcore thing. Because the whole thing is deathcore. It was a mix of death metal and hardcore and like beatdown hardcore.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
But it's the vocal delivery, dude. That's what really, because I can, there'll be death metal or deathcore songs or, you know, we covered that one band, Malignant Altar, I think was the name of the band or something like that. Really great fucking, you know, musically and stuff. The vocalist was a deathcore vocalist and it was cool. It was badass, but it just, at the end of the day, I'm just like, man, this is not, this is not what I want to be listening to. Like, this doesn't really do it for me. And it's mostly based on the vocal delivery.
I had a lot of fun at a lot of deathcore fucking shows at that time.
Yeah, dude, for sure. Me too.
I will still say that the first couple Bleeding Through albums were fucking awesome.
I had the biggest crush on that fucking keyboardist from fucking Bleeding Through. I'm not gonna fucking sit here and say that I wasn't a Bleeding Through fan, because I absolutely was, but for probably my different reasons. But like, no, and like, there's like there is some nostalgia to like the early deathcore stuff for me, man, just because of like the time period.
Yeah.
You know, when you're growing up and you're like, that's what you're kind of like, all your friends are into and shit. Like, that's how I got into Black Dahlia Murder. You know, but there's also this other side of me where like, I'm finding things like Pig Destroyer's Prowler of the Yard at the same time. And I'm like, this is something that's way more appealing to me. This is different than the death metal that I thought I was listening to and shit like that.
Yeah. So, I listened to everything. I was never, I have a very, wide palate, I guess you could say.
I'm an elitist. So you have to understand that I have my opinion is right in comparison to others.
Hey man. Yeah, it is what it is. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. Everybody can like whatever the fuck they like. Nobody's right. Nobody's wrong. You know, except pop punk sucks. I'm not a fan. I'm sorry. Can't do it. And like, there is like, and when I say pop punk, there's like a very specific thing I'm talking about. And it's probably not even what most people are.
Glory is what you're talking about.
Not even.
Really?
Like, that's not even. There is like, it is not even that. Like those, like the MTV bands and stuff. It's not even that. I don't mind that shit, because to me, that's just like regular pop music. I'm talking about like the shit that like they want you to think that they're like a legit punk band that just happens to sing about this shit. And like, it's not really like, you know, you're not going to see it on TV probably or whatever. I don't know. I can't. That's like what every band turned into. And
I
know somebody that'll fucking kill you for saying that. You're gonna catch a blade the next time you come to my house. You're gonna catch a blade, I'm telling you.
Be careful.
But you know, everybody's allowed to like what they like, except
that's true.
I don't know. Sorry, but Grizz, I think that's it for tonight. Jerry Meehan Jr., what's up, man? Your mom's nickname was Lunch Meat. A wonderful human, Jerry. All right, Grizz, is there anything else that you'd like to talk about?
No, it was a great time. I liked the movie. It was fun. Great album today. Looking forward to some Australian madness next week.
Yes. Where can they find you on the internet?
You can find me on Instagram at @Kane_enabler.
And you can find me at Bad Taste Video. And you can find everything we do at www.badtastevideo.com. You can watch us record this every Tuesday night on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/@badtastevideopodcast. We stream at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Then we put this out on our podcast feed, and you can get that pretty much anywhere. Because when I look at who listens to it, I see a whole bunch of like services that I never even have fucking heard of. Like, I don't know how our RSS feed ends up in some of these places, but it does. But thank you everybody for coming. Thank you everybody for listening. Like I said, next week is going to be Brain Blast from 1987. That should be a fun one. And we will see you then. Goodbye.